This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi al-Ameen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. This lecture is titled Musk or Dust. So, by the way, I'm not the one who comes up with these titles, okay? They just send them to me. But it's a good title, right? What do you think it's about? Musk or dust? All right. It's friendship, you said? Good. It's in the notes. Huh? It's in the booklet, isn't it? Good job. All right. This is based off of a famous hadith where an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْجَلِيسِ الصَّالِحِ وَالْجَلِيسِ السُّوءِ. He said the example, the parable of a good friend and a bad friend. كَحَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ وَنَافِخِ الْكِيرِ. It's like the one who carries the musk, meaning the one who sells musk oils and perfumes, colognes, and the blacksmith, the bellow blower, is going to be at the blacksmith. So what he's saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that your good friend is like the person who sells you musk. And the bad friend is like the blacksmith. With the one who sells the musk, you're either going to buy some, or you're going to enjoy smelling some good odor, or he's going to give you some as a gift, or you're going to smell something good. Or the other one, the blacksmith, he's going to burn your clothes, or you get a bad odor from him. All right. So why is this topic so important? Like, why did we choose, or why did the organizers choose this topic of friends? Like, why is that so important? And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith, "الرجل على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالد." That a man, and this of course applies to women as well, is going to be upon the deen of his close friends. So you should look to see who your close friends are. Now, deen in this hadith doesn't mean religion. Doesn't mean religion. Deen in this hadith means lifestyle. Okay? It means lifestyle. That's like the hadith of marriage. إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. If someone comes to you to ask for your daughter's hand, and you're pleased with his deen, here it doesn't mean Islam. More obviously, he's going to be Muslim, right? He's not going to be something else. Like Jeremy's going to come knock on your door. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Siddiqui, I'm here for Aisha. And your dad's going to be like, Aisha, who's this gora at the door? Anyways, the point is that deen here means lifestyle, their way of life. So you're going to take to the way of life of your close friends. Whatever they're into, you'll get into. Or you might flock together because you're of the interest that you have. You're with friends with a group of people. They like a specific sport. You start to like it. They like whatever it is they like, whatever they're into. You start to get into it as well. Even if you don't, you kind of start to appreciate it, sympathize with the cause, all those kinds of things. So in the hadith of the musk and the blacksmith, it's saying that you must be affected somehow. That's what the hadith is saying. You have to be affected somehow. Either you're going to be affected a lot or very little, but you're going to be affected, because it is inconceivable that you walk into a perfumery and you don't smell something good. How would that happen? And it's inconceivable, but I mean, you either smell something good, or it gives you a little sample like this, or it gives you a little gift, or you buy something, but there's no way you're going to walk in and out and you're not going to smell anything good. It's impossible. The blacksmith, there's no way you're going to walk into where the blacksmith is operating and he's got the fire blowing and he's clamoring on metal. It's going to hurt your ears. You're going to feel the heat. You're going to start to sweat. You might smell his BO. There's no way you're just going to walk in and out and not be affected whatsoever. So that's what the hadith is saying. You're either going to be affected a little, or you're going to be affected a lot, but you are going to be affected. So we know that your friends affect you. So choose them carefully. Choose them carefully. There's a saying from Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, the companion. He said, "Ma min shay'in adallu ala shay." He's saying there's nothing that is more indicative of one thing to another than a friend is to his friend. Even more so than smoke indicates fire. So Ibn Mas'ud is saying, even more so than how smoke indicates that there's fire somewhere, a friend indicates what his friends are like. He's saying even more than smoke to fire. And it's so true. You know, you'll see people, sometimes parents tell you weird things like, oh, my son, alhamdulillah, is a good boy. All his friends, they steal cars or they do drugs, but he doesn't do any of that. No, Habibi. He steals also. He does drugs. He could just, you know, masks it and covers it better. That's all. There's no way he hangs out with these people. And the whole time while they're jacking the car, he's like, ittaqullah. There's no way. It's like, you know, you see these weird things. One time I met this guy. He's like, I have all these Muslim friends who are not practicing. And he's practicing. He's like, they go to the bar. I go with them just to keep them out of the haram. I drink milk. You drink milk? Aren't you cute? All right. We're going to talk about that later on. To what level do you stay with a bad group? And when do you break away from the bad group? That's at the end, inshallah. Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, the scholars, he used to say, istakthiru min al-ashab as-salihin. He said, used to say, make a lot of righteous friends fi dunya, in this world. فَإِنَّهُمْ يَنْفَعُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. They will benefit you on the day of judgment. Then he starts to describe a scenario which is based off of a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, look at this hadith. It's really powerful. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is describing people will be in al-Jannah. Righteous people, they worked hard for it. They're sitting in al-Jannah. And then they say, how can we enjoy the pleasures of al-Jannah while our brothers are being punished in the hellfire? And this hadith says a lot of things, you know. And it tells you about the power of love, that they loved their friends from the dunya. So even though they're in al-Jannah, they didn't forget about them. And love is really powerful, you know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously knows how strong the love is in our hearts. So some things in al-Jannah resemble our dunya. There are markets in al-Jannah. There shouldn't be a market in al-Jannah. Everything's free. But there's a market because in this world we love markets. There are people who love farming. They'll get to farm in al-Jannah. There are people for some strange reason love children. They'll be able to have children in al-Jannah. The point is that love is so strong. And I know one of the things you're most looking forward to is seeing ones that you love in al-Jannah, right? And it, when you think of higher, when you think of how you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's like what you're looking forward to more than anything. After, of course, seeing Allah Azza wa Jal. But I'm talking about the love you have for the Prophet ﷺ that from this world carries to the next. Like you're more excited about that than eating grapes in al-Jannah and eating fruits and stuff. I want to see the Prophet ﷺ. I want to watch the Battle of Badr in 4D, 4K, whatever they have. I want to watch Uhud. I want to watch the moment when the Prophet ﷺ, when Jibreel came to him in the cave. These things, anyways. So here, these people are already in al-Jannah, and then they remember friends of theirs. And then they say, how can we sit here enjoying the pleasures of al-Jannah while our friends are being tormented in the hellfire? So, and by the way, some scholars said, these friends that they're asking about might have sat with them once or twice. It's not like they were their best friends, but just, this is the benefit. Remember, this is all under the subheading of having righteous friends. We quoted that Hasan al-Basri, saying, have a lot of righteous friends in this dunya because they'll benefit you on the day of judgment. So, then the Prophet ﷺ says, or for the hadith, فَلَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَشْفَعُ حَتَّى. The man will keep interceding for his friend until they're taken out of the hellfire and put into al-Jannah. So then the people of the hellfire will be surprised by that. This person was with us in the torment. Then they were taken and put into paradise. So they will say, who is the person who interceded for them? Who interceded? Was their father a martyr, a shaheed? And it will be said, no. Was their brother a shaheed? It will be said, no. Did an angel get them out of the hellfire? They will be told no. Did a prophet get them out of the hellfire? They will say no. It was their friend who got them out of the hellfire. So then the people of the hellfire will say, and this is referring to the tafsir of this verse in Surah Al-Shu'ara, فَمَا لَنَا مِن شَافِعِينَ. The people of the hellfire will say, we don't have any intercessors. وَلَا صَدِيقٍ حَمِينَ. And no close friends who got them out of the hellfire, who interceded for them, their close friends. They're going to say, we don't have any intercessors. We don't have any close friends. فَلَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. If we could just get another chance to go back to earth, we'll be from the righteous. As some scholars said, we'll be from the righteous and we'll befriend the righteous because they saw the benefit of having righteous friends. And that's why in Surah Az-Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-akhillau yawma'idhin ba'duhum li-ba'din aduun illa al-muttaqeen. On that day, al-akhilla, plural, khalid, very close friend. On that day, these very close friends will be enemies to one another, except for the righteous. Your righteous friends here are your righteous friends in the akhir. Your friends here that take you out to do haram, encourage you to do haram, and as much as they tell you that they, you know, I guess in slang terms, they got your back, that you're my boy, my dog, my ride or die. I'm from the streets, by the way. All this stuff they say, my ride or die, my dog, my boy, I got you, homie. You, those homies on the day of judgment in the hellfire, they will hate each other. They will be making dua against each other. They will be cursing each other and asking Allah to double the punishment on the other person. It's because of you that I'm here. You used to encourage me to do all this evil. All this talk about dogs or cats, all gone. All gone. Only the righteous will be true friends in the akhirah. All these people, all this talk, they will be enemies that will hate each other because they helped each other make it to that horrible place. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. We're still on the importance of friends. We're still on the benefits and the virtues of having good friends. And we're looking at the akhirah benefits so far. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in this hadith. It's a famous hadith, but just, it's always like fresh every time you read it, it's like brand new. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ لَأُنَاسًا. From the servants of Allah are certain people. مَا هُمْ بِأَنْبِيَا. They're not prophets. وَلَا شُهَدَا. And they are not martyrs. And we know the prophets, the martyrs, the siddiqeen, they're in the highest levels. And they're like the highest levels a human can attain. Then the Prophet ﷺ says, يَغْبِطُهُمْ الْأَنْبِيَا. يَغْبِطُهُمْ. الْغِبْطُ is when you wish you had the blessing that the other person has. But what's the difference between al-ghibt and al-hasad? Al-hasad, you want what they have and you want them to lose it. Al-ghibt is righteous. Here, you want what they have of blessing, but you don't want them to lose it either. You just want to have what they have. So Allah, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that the prophets of Allah are going to wish that they had the blessings these people have. He already said they're not prophets, they're not martyrs, they're just regular folks. And the prophets are going to wish they had what they have on the day of judgment. وَالشُّهَدَاءَ as well, the martyrs as well, will wish they had what these people have. يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِمَكَانِهِمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Because of their place with Allah Azza wa Jal. In another narration, it mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them on pulpits. مَنَابِرْ مِنْ نُورِ. A pulpit, by the way, fun fact, this is not a pulpit. This is a very common mistake people make. This is not a pulpit, this is a lectern. A pulpit is an elevated area, the stage. This is the pulpit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to give them lecterns. Or are they going to lecture people then? He's going to give them elevated places. And that's how you're honoring them, putting them above everybody else. Made of light. The Prophet ﷺ in this narration that we're going through mentions that their faces will be filled with light, radiating with light. And they will be upon light. And then look at these benefits. On the day of judgment, when everyone's afraid, when the prophets and angels are saying, nafsi, nafsi, worried about themselves. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, these people, la yakhafuna idha khafa an-nas. They're not afraid when other people are afraid. Look, when everyone else is afraid, they're not afraid. وَلَا يَحْزَنُونَ إِذَا حَزِنَ النَّاسِ. And they're not sad when everyone else around them is sad. And then the Prophet ﷺ described what they do. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that they are the ones who love each other for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. They were friends, but they were close, and their friendship was based upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they loved each other for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So while everyone is saddened and scared, they're not saddened, they're not scared. And the prophets and the martyrs are looking at them, and they wish they had the blessing that they have. Do we need to continue about the virtues and the benefits of having friends and righteous friends? I mean, that would just be enough just there. In another hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَبَتْ مَحَبَّتِي. So that my love is guaranteed لِلْمُتَحَابِينَ فِي, for those who love each other in my sake. وَالْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِي, and those who sit together for my sake. That's what gathers them. Not sports, not video games, not anything else. I'm not saying these things are haram. But he's saying what gathered them together. They sat down because of me. That's the common factor here. وَالْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِي, and those who visit each other for my sake. And you know something, on that note, you know, people stop visiting each other. When you want to meet a friend, you go to a restaurant for dinner. Don't do that. Okay, do that, but do the other thing also. Bring them over to your house. It's different. It's different when you welcome someone in your home and they meet your children and you cook for them and the effort you put cleaning the house and preparing the food and all that. And he's visiting you in your home, or she's visiting you in your home for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. People who visit each other for the sake of Allah. Now we've just become cold, right? It's weird now. Now the doorbell rings and you tell the kids, get away from the door. Doorbell rings like the whole family's trained. Down, roll. And then you got all these paranoid people. You know, I rented a house that had that ring thing on it, the doorbell. I wouldn't get ring because I'm not white. But the point is that, I'm kidding. The point is that, so with the ring, you get all these, you know, every neighborhood, everything they put on ring. And I'm just looking like these people are paranoid. Suspicious man comes to my house, drops package. Like, didn't you see the truck behind him said Amazon Prime? Like, why are you so suspicious of everything? People just paranoid about everything. Someone rings the doorbell, suspicious person rang the doorbell. It was your grandmother, yeah? People don't like visitors anymore. Kids still innocent, run to the door to open it. Parents are like, stop, don't open it. Maybe it's a guest or something. Visit each other for the sake of Allah. Don't always take them out to whatever it is, the coffee place. Don't always just go out for meals somewhere. So cook at home and receive people. And there's so many other benefits, you know, when you see the situation of how your brother or your sister, you know, how they live, and you get to know them better. You know, it's more intimate. You get closer to them. Anyways, but the hadith specifically mentions they visit each other for my sake. And basically we were saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they're guaranteed the love of Allah. Because everybody loves Allah. Find me a Muslim who says I don't love Allah. Everybody loves Allah. But the real question, the scholars said, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love you? Like, we should just seek out every hadith that says this is how you gain the love of Allah azza wa jalla. Just make sure we do these things. Anyways, another hadith mentions a very famous one also, but it again shows the virtue of friendship and love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith describes a man who was going to another town or village to visit another man. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends him an angel on his path. And the angel asks him, Aina turid, where are you going? And he says, Uridu akhan li fi hadhihi al-qarya. I'm going to a friend of mine, a brother of mine, in that village. So the angel asks him, do you have any business there? Anything you want from him? Any favor you need from him? He says, nothing. Just going to visit him for the sake of Allah. I love him for the sake of Allah. So then the angel tells him, I am a messenger of Allah to you, informing you, بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَبَّكَ كَمَا أَحْبَبْتَهُ فِي, that to inform you that Allah has loved you the same way you loved your friend for his sake. I think like these are just great incentives for people to have righteous friends. And you know what a smart person would do? Even if you don't like being around righteous people. Oh, they're so boring. All they talk about hadith and tafsir and stuff. And they don't talk about soccer and fun stuff. I don't like being around righteous people. Don't worry about it. Just be their friend anyways. Because some of that righteousness might rub off, you know, you benefit. Or if it doesn't, you know what? Have backup plans, right? Nobody knows what's happening on the Day of Judgment. Have backup plans. Ali, do you pray? No, man, but I have a lot of righteous friends. They'll pull me out of there. Okay, that's a bad plan. But you're going to try to do everything, right? You're going to try to do the righteous deeds as much as you can, put effort, and also have righteous friends. They benefit. Okay, sadiq in Arabic. It's called a sadiq, your friend. A sadiq is from the root sidq, which is truthfulness. They said, why is the friend from that root word, truthfulness? Because if there is a gap, meaning there's a gap in you, they fill it. If you fall short, they'll complete you. If you have a flaw, they'll conceal it. Listen, young people. I know you think everything is funny these days. The minute you find out about a flaw your friend has, next morning, or maybe not even next morning, immediately, you post it on your social media. Everybody has a laugh about it. They laugh at him, make fun of her. Okay? Girls are very mean too these days. Be nice, people. People making fun of each other. I find a flaw, I let the whole school know about it. No, you find the flaw, you conceal it. They advise you. They care for your akhirah. That means, as we're sitting here right now, we should go through our list of friends. How many of our friends actually care for our akhirah? And while you're at it, look at what kind of friend you are. Do you care about your friend's akhirah or not? And sometimes when you advise people, your friendship suffers a little bit. No, nobody likes someone giving them advice all the time, even though they should. I'll get to that in a second. But look at if they really love you, do they care about your akhirah? And on another note here, in your life, who are the most, in your life, which people are the most willing to remind you and to get on your case about your akhirah? In your life, who's willing to get on your case more than anybody about your akhirah? Youth, you know the answer to this. Say it. Yes. Moms, when this conference is over, make sure you kiss your mom's forehead and her hands. Even if it's not in your culture, just do it. Say, thank you. Forget your dad. Thank you. Because your dad, where's your dad? Your dad's in out working and stuff. Who yells at you for dhuhr? Your mom. Who yells at you for dhuhr for every day? Hassan, did you pray dhuhr? Shut up, ma. I'll be ready in a minute. God, I hate my parents. Stop this stuff. God, I hate this family. Kiss your mom's hands and forehead and tell her, thank you, mother, for keeping me Muslim. Because if she left for a day, would you pray? That's the question. She'd come in. She'd come back at 1 a.m. Did you pray any of the prayers? What's prayer? Yeah. You know, because your parents love you, they're the ones willing to get on your case about your akhirah more than anybody. And that's because they love you. And if your friends really loved you, they would get on your case about your akhirah. That's the real friendship right there. You know what? Every time a sister goes through, I don't know what she goes through, and then she puts a long face on post on Facebook about why she's going to remove her hijab. Then she puts a picture of her like this with no hijab, shampoo commercial. This is the part that's the worst part. All her other sister friends who are still hijabis. Girl, you look great. Do you? I don't even know what that means. But every time someone says, do you, I try to hold myself back from strangling the life out of them. I don't even know what that, do you. This is it. This is how it is now. Take off your hijab. Yeah, take some time and find yourself. Find yourself? Find yourself? Okay, anyways. All right, let me get into nice mode. Be nice. These things boiled my blood. Find yourself. What do you mean, find yourself? I don't like this kind of stuff. This is nonsense. I went to India to find myself. You're right there. What do you mean? Why do you have to go? You went to India to find yourself? Look in the mirror. There's your ugly mug right there. Oh, ISC is having regrets again. Brother Radwan's making a note. Next year, know this short black guy. Oh, you guys. Look, you give people advice a lot, your friendship will suffer, you know? And when people give you advice, accept it. Accept it. It might be painful and hard in the beginning, but accept the advice because everybody wants to improve. People who don't accept advice, it's like they're saying, why did you correct me? I love being wrong and ignorant. And now you're trying to make me a better person. I'm so mad at you. They get angry with you. He's calling security. What are you doing? I should. Another one. He's calling somebody on the mic. I'm almost done anyways, man. Just calm down. I'll get off the stage myself. Just give me 5 minutes. All right. So I was saying, when people give you advice, take it. Don't get upset with them for trying to improve you and make you a better person. And when someone gives you advice, also act upon it. And some people, I call them collectors. They just collect advice. This guy was giving me a ride to my vehicle one time at the university. And I barely kind of know him. I barely know him. And we get in his car. He's like, Sheikh, give me advice. I was like, wallahi, shuf. I don't hold back. If I find any good advice, I'll give you, inshallah. 20 seconds later. Okay, Sheikh, what's the advice? I said, Akhi, I told you that I don't know anything right now. But if I do know something, I will tell you. I will not hold back. 30 seconds later, he says, did you think of anything? Now, this is a true story. I'm not changing any part of it. Well, when he said that, I remembered something about him. That he interrupts people like crazy. Like he'll ask you a question and cut you off as your answer. So I remembered that. I said, good. This way I can also shut him up and stop pestering me about advice. So I told him, actually I remembered something. You interrupt people a whole lot. He goes, yes, I know that. Give me something else. True story. That's when I let him have it. It's not acceptable, yeah. You're a collector, yani. You just collect advice from different people. Go to people. Do you have any advice for me? Oh, I already have this one. Oh, it's not a stamp collection. I said, fix it then. Work on it. All right. Two last things I'm going to mention, or maybe three. Bad company. What do you do when you have bad friends? By the way, for the most part, the scholars say when you have bad friends, meaning they don't pray, sometimes they pray or they pray when you're there, they said you never part ways with them. Those people, you don't part ways with them because your presence there brings khair into their life. And as opposed to 100% evil, you bring some khair out of maybe they're shy. Because they're shy, they won't drink while you're there. They won't smoke while you're there. They won't look at anything inappropriate while you're with them. They will pray. One out of five prayers is better than zero out of five prayers. So the scholars say you remain with them. You don't part ways with them, except in the case where they're pulling you down. So the first case, you're helping them improve. They use less profanity when you're around them. They don't do haram when you're around them. So you're helping them improve. But if you, the righteous one who's supposed to fix them, now you find yourself using profanity when you're around them, delaying the prayers when you're around them, here you save yourself. Here you get out of there. You can't save them from drowning if you're going to drown too. In this case, you get out. But sometimes people, they part ways with people because, oh, they don't do this or they miss prayers. And no, they need you in their life. Just like in that example of the akhirah, people remembering each other. And the scholar said, the people in al-Jannah, when they remember their friends in the hellfire, they said these were friends who, for the most part, prayed, but they had some sins or they maybe committed some major sins and they remembered them and they helped them out. That's the attitude. It's not that the minute you make a mistake, like you have to be 100% to be my friend. You make one mistake, I'm out. No. But you're out if you're being dragged. It's like that guy who drinks milk at the bar. Huh? Shway, shway, can you add some to the milk? Shway, he'll be like, cancel the milk, just bring the bottle. Give me the whole bottle. والعياذ بالله. Boundaries, setting boundaries with friends. There's good news, I always tell people. You only have to set the boundaries once. This girl came to my office, she says, you know, my brother's friends, they try to shake my hand. And what should I do? I get embarrassed. I told her, here's the good news. You only have to tell them one time that you don't shake hands. End of story. It's not like every time you run into them, you have to tell them, by the way, in Islam, just once, and they'll remember it. Done. Set your boundaries with your friends once. And don't set it in a rude way and with a frown on your face. And when you correct someone, don't correct them in a rude way because they're in the wrong, you're in the right. So you tell them, haram, frown, and you're nasty and abrasive and rough. You know, I love this story of a man who came to Harun al-Rashid to give him advice, and he was very rough with him. You know, a lot of times people think that you get a chance to speak to a ruler or whatever, you let them have it. But do you think that's going to be conducive to them changing, becoming a better person? So he was really rough with him. When he was done, he says, Ya Rajul, irfiq. He tells him, be gentle. Because Allah sent someone worse. I mean, Allah sent someone better than you. فَقَدْ بَعَثَ اللَّهُ مَنْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنْكَ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ شَرٌ مِنِّي. Allah sent someone better than you to somebody worse than me and still told him to be gentle. You know what he's talking about. اِذْهَبَ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Go to Fir'aun, he's transgressed. Musa and Harun, better than you, went to Fir'aun, who's worse than me, and still said, be gentle. What makes you think you could come here and just be so rude and harsh with me? So set your boundaries. You don't have to end the relationship because of boundaries. No good. Well, you guys are Canadian. You know about good manners, right? Right? Well, in America, I get this question a lot. Someone will come and say, how do I give da'wah to my parents without being rude? And I always give the same answer. Give them da'wah without being rude. What kind of a question is that? Like, why do you have to be rude for some reason? Just give them da'wah without being rude. All right. And then, of course, the last thing, which I shouldn't have to say, we're talking about friends. And we're talking about boys friends with boys and girls friends with girls. And there is no such thing as girls friends with boys. There is no such thing. Just like there is no such thing as a gazelle who's best friends with a lion. You understand? It has never happened. And let me tell you something. If there's a gazelle that sometimes hangs around the lions, and then the gazelle tells the other gazelles, we're just friends, nothing's going to happen. Wait till lunch. Wait till lunch. No such thing. It is not normal. It is not natural. There is no such thing. So in short, no shukansi. Shukansi. There are not enough Somalis in here. No shukansi. Ilahi ka'abso. All right? All right, you guys. Zakum Allah khairan for listening attentively. Sallallahu barakallahu Muhammad. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.